It doesn't work, we'll have to redo it. Oh, I can see my voice.
Hello.
Hello, Eric. When you're editing this. All right, I think we are ready to get started. Just keep eating, get your food. I'm just going to start talking. We are recording this, so if you're unable to hear everything because you're fussing with the kids and stuff, we'll make the audio available yet again afterwards. So over these 3 weeks of the Feasts of February, we want to talk a bit about this new ministry of church family life, about why we're doing it, the direction it's headed, the vision behind it, and all of that. It is a change from what we have done over the previous number of decades. So it's going to take a bit of time for all of us to really get on board and understand what it is that we are hoping to do. But here's where it starts. Genesis 1:28. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Genesis 1:28, therefore this ministry. Families are the heartbeat of obedience to this mandate of dominion and fruitfulness that God has given us. Marriage and children is the way this gets done. What God has told us to do in the garden, that is the path to obedience. And strong, healthy, mature young people are to be formed in the home under the discipline of godly parents. The Bible teaches us that fathers are to have authority in their home. They are to be the family shepherd. They are to take the lead and take responsibility. They are to lead their family in worship and in discipleship. Wives are the glory of the home. They are to submit to their husbands. They are to bring beauty and life into the home in the form of children, happy dinners, and beautiful things. I had titled this talk, "Exercising Dominion Through Authority and Glory," or "Men and Women." So the wives, they take houses and they turn them into homes. Men have authority, women have glory. Now some of these things seem outdated to us already. For example, it used to be acceptable to stand up here and say something like this. Women, you should be submissive to your husbands. You should focus on your home and learn how to cook. You really should be domestic. That used to be normal. You say that today, you'll have emails in your inbox before you get home from potluck on a Wednesday night. Let me just answer one question now quickly. No, it's not sin for a man to make supper. I'm sure that clears everything up, right? Marriage and children is what the Bible teaches as the norm for mankind. It's not the only thing, but it's clearly the normative path in life. And in that norm, men and women have been given distinct responsibilities. It comes from that mandate in the garden that we read, to exercise dominion over the earth, to be fruitful and multiply. Marriage and children, that's the main road that God has given us to fulfill this mandate from the beginning. Now, I know some of you are in different places in life, and we're going to get to that. Don't think you're being left out, please. But the point here is marriage and children remain the norm, and we shouldn't be ashamed of it. Not at all. So parents are to train their children. We are to show them the way. And if we want our children to imitate that which is good, then we must give them something good for them to imitate. We must teach them, yes, but we must also show them. And that includes embracing this dominion mandate and pursuing it with joy. Our kids need to see us do it. We don't want to shuffle the kids away, off on their own somewhere. We want to invite them near, into our lives. We want our kids to see our joy as we obey God, as we live our lives as men and women under God. We want our kids to see it. God has gendered mankind and has given responsibility to each gender. There is authority and there is glory. Now, of course, everybody knows this work of dominion and fruitfulness, the work given to each gender, is difficult. So a problem that has developed over the previous couple of generations is the problem of professionalism. When it comes to raising the next generation, to exercising dominion, we have to a large degree turn that task over to professionals. Because it's much easier, whether it's teaching or training, discipling, disciplining, we have a general attitude that those things are best left to the professionals. After all, I'm not a teacher. I'm no scholar. I'm not a counselor. I have no training or education, really. And so we choose to leave it to the experts, whoever those experts happen to be. And to be clear, those experts can be extremely helpful. We have counselors. We have teachers here in this room, professionals. And you do amazing work. But the point here is that the two biggest problems, or two of the biggest problems that we face today in this area is, one, rejecting what God has told us to do in fruitful multiplication and exercising dominion, and two, handing our work over to others, expecting someone else to do the work that God has given to us. And I could add a third, men and women are envious of one another, to put it bluntly, and we often desire what the other one has. So let me just say this. God has not robbed you of anything by giving you certain tasks and giving different tasks to others. Blessing for someone else does not mean oppression for you. And that's something we're going to need to talk about more down the road. It's very easy to be caught up in envy, to not want what God has given me, but I want what God has given to someone else. Envy is deep-rooted in our culture, and we feel we are oppressed when we're actually not. So these things must be corrected. The task of training men and women to be men and women, husbands, fathers, wives, mothers, is one of the tasks given to the church. The shepherds of the church are to train the people for ministry, teaching them the word of God and helping you to grow in maturity in Christ. If you are a man, then God expects you to look like one, and he expects you to act like one. And the same for the woman. Women, if you are a woman, then God expects you to look like one, and he expects you to act like one. And it's sad that those are offensive statements in our culture. Our society wants to separate our maleness and our femaleness from the things that God has connected them to. In particular, God has connected our maleness and femaleness to the biblical norm, a family and the household, a productive household. This connection that God has made should be a call for us. We should see that connection, and that should ring in our ears. That should be a call to us to pursue those things, not to reject them or try to redefine them. We need to embrace what has been called gendered piety. It's a phrase you're going to hear. Gendered piety. That is, if God says that to be a man means to pursue these things, then men ought to pursue those things, not look for ways to avoid them. That's gendered piety. We have come to think that us normal, ordinary folk don't have much to offer. Parents often don't have the confidence to raise up their children because they're not professionals. And we question whether we have what it takes as a mom or as a dad, as somebody in the church, and we wonder, do I have what it takes? I'm not a professional. I seem to mess it up all the time, and I don't know if God has really given me what I need. And the truth is, he has. He has given us what we need. We can do what he has asked us to do. Absolutely we can. What we want to do in this new ministry and these meetings is to look to the biblical teaching of how all this should work. We want to help equip parents. We want to help equip the church as a whole for ministry, for discipleship. We want to help equip you to have stronger, more joyful marriages. How to teach your children, help young people enter adulthood with confidence and competence. We want young people to see the joy and to feel the joy of embracing who God made them to be as men and women. We want them to embrace the accompanying responsibilities, desire those things. Our children, our young people should want what God has made them to be. Boys should desire that role of authority that God has given to men. Girls should desire that glory that God has uniquely given to women. Men and women are equal, but they're not the same. And that is a good thing. We affirm the difference between boys and girls. According to the Word of God, we are to be the professionals in these matters. God has given us what we need. We have the tools we need to raise up the next generation, to exercise dominion, and to recover that productive household. You can do this. You absolutely can. You can train your children. You can walk in victory over your sins. You can have a healthy marriage. We have the scriptures, and they are enough to show us the way. In that sense, we are the professionals. God has given us all we need for life and godliness. We have His Word. We have His Spirit. We have prayer. We have the gift of the church to help us do this work. The Word gives guidance to all of us, whether you're married or whether you're single or whatever season you happen to find yourself in. There has been a rebellion against the ways of God and rebellion against how He has ordered things. There's a power struggle between men and women, as we see. Sin has torn down the structures of the family, of that authority and that glory of human society in general, and we are called by the grace of God to rebuild it all. And by the grace of God, we can. It is a large and it's a wonderful task. Because naturally speaking, men are poor leaders. We are called to lead, but we're not very good at it because of sin. We'd rather leave it to someone else. Sin has robbed men of their strength, given to laziness and cowardice, our lusts and our anger. And men tend to fall into one of two categories, either abdication or anger. On the one hand, we abandon our role. We avoid training our children, opening up the scriptures with them, leading them in discipleship and worship. Or on the other hand, we become tyrants, demanding obedience and submission to every detail and ruling with an iron fist. Men tend to fall into one of two categories. Either they hide or they just rule with an iron fist. And naturally speaking, women are generally poor submitters. Wives have been given the task of submitting to their husbands, but they're often not very good at it, sometimes getting to the point where they won't even look for one to submit to. A wife is to be the glory of her husband and the glory of her home, sitting enthroned in her own home. But sin has robbed her of her glory. What God has called glorious, society has called demeaning, as if a happy family around a supper table is somehow an insult. Women have their own besetting sins, as do men, of course, that they're susceptible to, and it is the failure of many a church to address the women. It takes a courage to address women in our culture, in our society. Resentment towards their husbands or male authority in general or in the church. Gossip and meddling are common sins that get overlooked. She too can fall into one of two dangers. On one hand, seeking to destroy her own beauty and tearing down her household, or using her beauty to destroy others and tear down theirs. All things we need to talk about. Because people are sinners. Neither gender really wants to play the role that they've been given because it's hard. We are under attack from our culture, and if we're not active in fighting it, we're going to be swept away. And as young people in particular struggle with this, we see more and more of them just outright reject the idea of marriage and family, of the roles that they've been given, of the household, and of drawing near to the church. Young people are adrift. This attack on the family and on young people is intense, and we need to be intentional in our teaching and our life together if we're going to successfully raise up the next generation as we are called to do. Now, of course, I can say all of that, and many of you are already thinking, but there's so much more to talk about. What about, we think about in the church, in our lives, what about the gift of celibacy? What is your place if this is your gift? Well, that needs to be understood. Not everyone gets married. What about if you're single and you want to get married, but you aren't yet? What do you do? How can you glorify God as a man or a woman while you're single? How about broken families? Where do seniors fit in with all of this? What do you do when your children are grown and gone? We talk about these things. What about areas of overlap between the genders? There's much in life that both sexes can do with excellence. What about the overlap? There's so much to study as we move forward. Because you don't become a man or a woman at marriage. Your gender is a part of your whole life, no matter what category you are in. And God's word gives us courage, it gives us confidence, it gives us competence for all that we do. And we must never apologize for this word. It is good. So I want to encourage each one of you. Life in the church is not just voting on the budget once a year. Our lives are to be knit together across the generations. And there's so much more for us to do in our lives, in our families, in our church. This ministry is meant to open doors of opportunity to serve, to be served, to learn and to grow and to love one another. It's meant to be a joyful time for us because the church is also a family. In this body, whether you are married or single, you have brothers and sisters. You have children in the faith as you disciple younger people. You have fathers and mothers in the faith who disciple you. We are family here. And our goal is to have much rich fellowship together, laughter and friendship, camaraderie, support. No one should be going through life alone. Draw near, and there are riches from God for everyone. But you must draw near if you're going to find them. We miss the blessing that God has for us if we remain on the outside or if we expect others to do the work. So in the feasts of February, we are lighting the fires of fellowship. You are invited to draw near and join the family circle. So I'm going to explain a bit what this is going to look like moving forward. I will send out more information for you so you don't have to remember everything. But next week, the next feast of February, all of you are invited back, just like we did tonight. Come back, and I'm going to address the men. And I want the ladies to hear what I'm going to say to the men. I want everyone to hear what it is that we are going to be learning as men, what we are going to pursue, what we are working on in discipleship, mastery of strength, proper decorum. Know when to wear a suit, guys. You change the room when you walk into it as a man, in your own way. Mastery of strength, proper decorum, generosity and joy. Men should be pouring out their lives for others. We want to talk about this. Next week, I'm going to lay out some of what this is going to look like moving forward. I want the ladies to hear it. Following week, everyone's invited back again. This time, I'm going to be addressing the ladies. Same thing. I want the men to hear what the ladies are going to be learning. I'm going to tell you, ladies, what it means to be a woman.
Thank you, Dad.
Not that I know, but from the Word of God, He has given us what we need. And sometimes people get frightened to say that. And so I want the men to hear what the women are going to be learning. And then the whole ministry, Lord willing, is going to start in March. This is how a month is generally going to go as we move forward. The first Wednesday of every month is going to be for the men, ages 13 and up. That's for everyone, members, non-members, 13 and up. You are welcome to come first Wednesday of the month. Second Wednesday of the month is going to be for the women. All the ladies, 13 and up, are invited to come second Wednesday. Third Wednesday of the month is going to be a members potluck. What we're doing here tonight for members, we want to enrich the fellowship of our church body and our church life. If you are not a member, but what you have heard here is something you want to be a part of, Now's your time. Come and ask about membership. Our arms are wide open. We would love to invite you in, draw you in, and have you be a part of our body here. Now is the time. And then during those times, there will be different semesters as we go through. Resources will be given, books recommended. We want to encourage mentorship and discipleship. We want to encourage much fellowship outside of these Wednesdays. Hospitality, field trips, go fishing, go cooking, learn how to make something, I don't know. We are to walk in these cross-generational relationships, showing our kids the joy we have of being men and women. In order to do that, we actually have to have joy in being men and women. And we want to learn how to do that. We want to press into the Word, press into one another, and we want to grow, raising up that next generation. God has given us everything we need, and we can absolutely do it. By the word of God, we are the professionals in this manner. What a blessed thing to be a man. What a blessed thing to be a woman. And even more blessed to be together. So let's pursue that with joy. Come back next week. I'll be addressing the men. All right, we're going to wrap it up there. You're going to find some papers on your table. This song, To the Word. We're going to sing that. And then we're going to...